Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. This is the place where the life of Jesus meets yours in 10 minutes every day, Monday through Friday. And today, we are looking at Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things again to you, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evildoers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who are confident in Christ Jesus, and who place no confidence in the flesh, even though I have grounds for confidence also in the flesh. If anyone thinks that he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, in regard to zeal, persecuting the church, in regard to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. But whatever things were a profit for me, these things I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. But even more than that, I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have lost all things and consider them rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own which comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. I do this, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in the hope that in some way I may arrive at the resurrection of the dead. This is the word of our God. Paul concludes this letter as, chapter 3 is kind of the beginning of the end. It's the halfway point in the letter, and the tone shifts rather dramatically because he spends most of chapter 3 addressing two major enemies of the gospel. The gospel is kind of poised right in the middle between one enemy on one side, or one ditch, if you think of it as a road with two ditches, one ditch on each side. The gospel is right in the middle. And on one side is this idea of legalism, that idea of you have to do something additional. You have to do something in order to be right with God and to be on God's good side. And the other side, which he'll address later in the letter, in the second half of chapter 3, is the idea that since God has done everything because of God's grace, now you have the freedom to live however you want and to sin as much as you want. That's the side or the ditch that we would call license. And so Paul is very stern and very strong in his warning against both legalism and license. You might remember from the first missionary journey of Paul when we looked at Galatians that he really, really had a tough time dealing with the legalism of the Jewish people, especially the term that we used was the Judaizers, those who wanted to compel these new Christians to follow the Jewish Old Testament ceremonial law. The law that governed Jewish worship life and the Jewish way of life. And they came to Galatia, central Turkey, shortly after Paul's first missionary journey, and they told the Galatians that if you are not circumcised, then you are not truly a Christian and you are not a member of the body of Christ. And those Galatians had been so bewitched and deceived that basically when Paul gets back to Antioch, where he had started, and he wrote off that letter to the Galatians as soon as he heard. And when you read that letter, it kind of reads like Paul's in a sweat, that he needs to get this to them right away. And he speaks very strongly. Now here in Philippians, in one of his later epistles or later letters, he's a little bit more measured, but the tenacity and the vehemence is still there because it's kind of startling compared to the rest of the letter, which is just this overall peaceful and joyful tone of serenity. But in the verses here, especially, verses 1 through 11, he warns very strongly against the legalistic Judaizers, those who would compel the Christians to follow the Old Testament ceremonial law. Verse 2, beware of the dogs, beware of the evildoers, beware of the mutilation. Whether those three things kind of overlap with one another, the idea is still there. Paul is very intense when he says this three different times. It's those who would pull you away from Christ, those who commit evil. And when he uses that term mutilation, The word there is quite interesting. It's a play on words. The Greek word for circumcision is peritomei, and the Greek word for mutilation is katatomei. So this is a play on words that he has going on in this word verse when he says, beware of the mutilation, because he's going to be using the word circumcision in the very next verse. But he's really highlighting the fact that these ones who call themselves the circumcision group, who want to compel the new Christians to be circumcised and to obey the law of Moses, they aren't really the peritome, they are the katatome. And then when we get to verse 3, for we are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, three things that characterize the circumcision group. The true circumcision group. First of all, we worship by the Spirit of God. Second of all, we are confident in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, we place no confidence in the flesh. That's what characterizes our lives as Christians. The fact that I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh, in my sinful nature, that I don't bring and I can't bring anything of value to God, and that nothing that I do could increase my standing in God's court. Paul says, you know, we place no confidence in the flesh. And he's like, oh, by the way, if anybody wanted to play that game and wanted to, you know, put their cards on the table as to whether or not they had the credentials to place any confidence in the flesh, he's like, oh, by the way, I've got more. Right? Kind of funny. If anyone thinks he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, picking it up. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. That's part one. Part two, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. And then third, in regard to zeal, persecuting the church. And fourth, in regard to the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. So Paul says, you know, whether it's the actions that needed to be taken that make one a member of the nation of Israel, or the bloodline and background of the tribe of Benjamin, one of those tribes that was carried off and mostly lost. But that tribe that gave rise to the first king of Israel, King Saul, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. You know, he's very, very conscious about following God's law in all of its ways, to the point where the Pharisees made up their own laws to go around God's law and hopefully, you know, protect God's law like a hedge is what they called it, or a fence, to protect them from breaking God's law. So if God's law said, you know, don't walk a mile on the Sabbath day, they would say, well, we're gonna not even walk half a mile on the Sabbath day, right? But Paul brings that in only to highlight this one fact. Verse 7. Whatever things were a profit for me, these things I have come to consider a loss because of Christ. You know, everything that I have, you know, it's less than worthless. It's dragging me down because Jesus is so far superior. I consider everything to be a loss because of what is worth far more, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have lost all things so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God by faith. And so Paul says, you know, he put his money where his mouth is. He says, I don't see any value now in all of those things, because his value as a person and his value as a, you know, any person standing in God's court is found in Jesus. To say, you know, I don't care what my previous way of life had been, whether good or bad or ugly or indifferent, I have Jesus, and that's all I need. And so you got to let that sink in for a minute and think about that. The fact that you and every other person that you will ever, ever see is somebody for whom Jesus died. And I don't know where they come from. I don't know what their particular background might be. But the reality is that because of Jesus, they have everything in Christ. And if Jesus can take someone like Paul, who is very rigorous Pharisee of Pharisees and a persecutor of God's church, and lead Paul to say, you know what, it's better to not have this because I have Jesus. And if he gave up everything and still had Jesus. And so you and me today, We need to think of the value that we place on our Jesus. And that's found in the value that he placed on you. That he gave his life for you to make you his own. And so now he says, dear friend, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry and work and strive. You've got the acclamation of the Son of God, the proclamation from God himself saying that this is how much he cares about you, that he gave his own son for you, so that one day you also will be raised from the dead. That is the promise that God promises you, that no matter what you gain, no matter what you lose, if you have Jesus, you have everything. You can find us Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You could also find us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.